This is Mike Pryor
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Earlier on, I have a guest with me at the moment. The guest comes from the Cambridge Alliance for Independent Living. Graham Lewis. Good afternoon, Graham.
Hello.
How are you this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
That's good. Cambridge Alliance for Independent Living, they're our charity of the month this month, Graham.
Yes.
What are you hoping to achieve by that?
We're just aiming to raise awareness of who we are, what we do, and aim to increase the profile of people with disabilities in certain situations and how they can have a say about the things that are going on in this area. And we're actually Cambridgeshire Alliance for Independent Living.
Oh, right. Okay.
We're the whole county, yeah.
So just for listeners who perhaps haven't heard of you before, can you just give a brief synopsis of what you set out to do?
We basically are a pan-disability user-led organisation. So all of our trustees and the majority of our staff are people with disabilities, and we basically, our work is to go out and talk to people about their experiences of life, what's making life easy, what makes life more difficult, and so that we can then work with them about how to go about getting a change.
And when you say talk to people, you mean people in positions of power?
We talk to people with disabilities about what's going on, and then we are able to, through either some of our normal meetings that we hold or through other activity, go and talk to organisations. So we recently went and had a meeting with community engagement at Greater Anglia at the main train station about issues there on the plaza and on around the new Cambridge North station.
So this is kind of things like accessibility.
Yeah, so we talk about all those different types of things, seeing if we can engineer change, help raise awareness with people. We all talk with planners about some of the developments that they're doing so that we can say, well, this is what might make it more accessible, you know, to make so that things, so that disabled access is designed completely in throughout the whole process and makes it easier for everybody.
I think the general awareness of the need to provide for disabled people perhaps is higher than it used to be.
Certainly.
But does that show itself in the way things are designed, do you think?
It frequently, yes. But the frequent thing is that it'll be, say, a new building goes up and it will have a ramp that goes round to a side door rather than why does it not lead up to the front door? You know, because then everybody could go in through the same front door.
Sure.
But only about 2% of people with disabilities actually use wheelchairs.
And ironically, by doing that, it mentally separates disabled people.
Yeah, it makes you feel as though, oh, I've got to go out my way. Well, if I've got to go out my way, I'll go somewhere else.
Yes.
You know, rather than, why should I go into that shop or into that office when I can go into another one that is much more easily accessible?
There was a recent, I think it was in Cambridge, there was a recent exercise went on where ordinarily fully able people were put into wheelchairs and asked to sort of find their way around Cambridge. So they were coping with curbstones and entrances into buildings and so forth. Do you think doing stuff like that, I mean, we in the recent past, of course, we had Jerry Bird was the mayor. Who also is in a wheelchair. Do you think people who actually are disabled or who experience disability like that, does that help, you think, in their thinking?
Certainly. I mean, I've just come hot-footed here from the Guide Dog Forum, and we had representatives from Stagecoach East there, and they were talking about how they and their trainers, the driver trainers, had all had a day with guide dogs for the blind. They had been blindfolded, they'd had goggles put on to mimic various visual impairments so that they could see what their passengers were actually facing, so that then they can then talk to drivers when they're under instruction to make better, so that they actually understood why people are asking for certain things, what the certain situations are. And so that it is much better when people have had that type of training.
I think the analogy I would use to describe what you're describing is when you're a driver in a car and you take somebody somewhere and they're a passenger next to you. If you said to them, well, how did we get here? The chances are they wouldn't really remember the route that you'd taken.
No, exactly.
But if you sit in the driver's seat and actually have to do it for yourself, you absolutely remember the route you took. And I suspect that it's a very similar analogy.
It is, yeah. You know, if you experience a thing, you're going to more likely remember about how it impacts. We learn in different ways, and by experiencing it is a big learning style. Driving is very much learning by experience.
So you, there's lots of people, I'm sure, involved in the charity. You specifically, though, I know are focused very much on physical disability and sensory impairment. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, because we work with people with all disabilities and sensory impairments, one of the things that I facilitate is a partnership board which brings together people with disabilities and sensory impairments, statutory services, so health and social care, and some of the organisations that also provide services to people. And we will talk about some of the issues that people have experienced when they've used services. So the people with lived experience of disability, they're going out, talking to their friends, and people say, oh, I went to such and such a hospital and, oh, it was atrocious. Nobody could help me. Nobody could this, and I couldn't get about, and they wanted me to go to somewhere where I needed to use steps, but I'm a wheelchair user, and things like that. So we're then able to then talk within the partnership board and get action. And the partnership boards all have direct access to the senior management of adult social care at the county council. So actually, if it's something to do with social care that people are receiving, they can actually make change. People were telling us about concerns around that they were getting around the care that they receive at home, so assistance in getting up or having a bath or feeding, etc. And there were a number of concerns. We were able to feed that back direct to the county council, and they completely reviewed what they were doing and how they commissioned organisations and how they would expect those organisations to operate, and have whole new contracts came into force on the 1st of November. So we actually have an ability to influence very as quickly as possible. It can take some time to make change, but we have an ability to influence and make that change, and we are listened to, which is sometimes the most important aspect.
So clearly things are improving, but presumably there are still things that you'd like to change. What at the moment would you say are the biggest blockages to moving forward?
Interesting question. Some of it is planning and design, because...
Is it getting everybody on board, as you were saying before, from the idea?
Yes, because if you look at the lovely plaza outside the Cambridge station, it's absolutely wonderful, but the road is, for where the taxis do their drop-off, is red, grey, brown bricks, and then the pavement next to it is red, grey, brown bricks. Now, visually impaired people can't necessarily tell the difference between those bricks and that there's different levels, nor can guide dogs. And there's an area which is a great big drop down curb, and it's so smooth a guide dog doesn't realize it's walking somebody into the traffic.
Yes, this is one of the criticisms. I know in recent years it's been quite popular to rather than having a sharp edge to a curbstone, it's been quite popular just to put it as a gradient down to the road, which sounds a good idea.
It's brilliant. I would say it's absolutely brilliant for wheelchair users because it's a much smoother journey for them. Yeah, but for people who are visually impaired or blind, it's a much more of a challenge. And also for people who, say, with Parkinson's or MS, who can walk, but maybe more of a shuffle as they walk.
Right.
If they can't tell there's a difference in gradient, that could become a factor that could make them fall.
Okay. So what do you think needs to change in the future? What would improve things?
Clearer consultation early on with people with disabilities.
So more general involvement with actual people who are suffering those disabilities.
Yeah, talking to people, finding out how does it work, and not just looking at it from one disability point of view. So a wheelchair user will say, we need this XYZ. Somebody who is blind will say, I need XYZ. And somebody like myself, who's got arthritis, so sometimes can't walk very well, would say, I need XYZ, but all those XYZs would be slightly different.
Right.
And so to get those things incorporated is always important.
Okay. The other thing that I know you're very much involved with is the wheelchair user forum. Tell us a little bit about that.
My baby.
Is it? What's the objective of it?
The wheelchair user forum is because people with wheelchairs normally they go to services or organisations about their specific conditions. So, say MS or Parkinson's. But they don't talk to other wheelchair users about the issues that they have with the organisation where the wheelchairs come from, about how they're serviced, about everything about their wheelchair, which is their form of mobility.
Right.
And so we brought people together because concerns were raised with ourselves and with Health Watch about the local provider organisation. And they, you know, there are real issues around waiting times and low quality service, and so a report was written, and now the wheelchair user forum is saying, you've had the report, what are you doing about it? We need to hear. There's going to be a commissioning process next year, so the wheelchair user forum is also saying, we want to be involved in that commissioning process because it's really important that we have a full say in the quality of the service.
So it's really adding weight to the voice of the users
definitely.
Of wheelchairs, I see.
Yeah. I don't use a wheelchair. I can tell you what poor quality looks like and sounds like. I can't tell you what it feels like.
Right.
Whereas wheelchair users will state quite clearly what they expect and what they want.
Okay. So, as I said earlier on there, the charity is featured as our Charity of the Month, and there'll be many of your colleagues, I know, coming in over the next few weeks to talk about different aspects of the charity. If anybody wants to help or get involved or any other way to support the charity, how can they do that?
They can visit our website, cail.org.uk. They can give us a phone call on 0300 111 2301. Or they can email us on admin@CambridgeShireAlliance.org.uk.
Okay, that sounds great. That's Graeme Lewis from the Cambridgeshire Alliance of Independent Living there. Thanks ever so much for coming in, Graeme. He'll be back, or at least one of his colleagues will be back in the very near future with more about that charity.